The reading today is from Mark 9, verses 2 through 9, the Transfiguration. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it's good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He didn't know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud. "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. The word of the Lord.
"Tell me again. What did you see?"
"I saw what I saw."
"I know you saw what you saw, but what did you see?"
"Why am I going to tell you what I saw so you can just tell me that I didn't see what I saw?"
"I'm not going to." She paused. "I'm not going to. I saw I'm not Jesus."
"You did not see I'm not Jesus."
"Ugh."
Dee Dee and Pete both threw their hands up in exasperation, letting out guttural exhalations, walking away from each other in a small circle, looking out into the middle distance as if appealing to a gathered crowd on their side of the bleachers, coming back to face each other, completing a sort of peeved hokey-pokey. "I'm just saying you did not see I'm not Jesus." Pete folded his arms high on his chest in answer to Dee Dee.
"You didn't," repeated Dee Dee.
Pete added a raised chin to his stance in reply.
"You might have seen something."
"Of course you saw something." Pete raised his eyebrows, looking down his nose at her to say, "Oh, you grant me that I saw something?" And then he lost his silence.
"Of course I saw something. I know I saw something. That something was I'm not Jesus. And I don't need to hear what you think I saw or didn't see, because I'm not trying to convince you of anything. I don't care what you think I saw. I just told you a thing. I came into the bar, sat down on my stool, ordered a beer, and you said, 'What the hell is wrong with you?' And I said, 'I just saw I'm not Jesus.' And you launched into a Gettysburg address of how it was impossible that I saw I'm not Jesus. And I said, 'A Gettysburg address?' And you said, 'You know, a big long speech.' And I said, 'About how all men are created equal?' Despite its obviously dated gendering, it does remain a big speech, but at less than 2 minutes long, it isn't a very long speech." That was when Pete looked at her, shook his head, finished his beer, pushed his stool back, got up and left. Dee Dee called for Mike to cover the bar and followed him outside. At 10 o'clock at night, it was still 80 degrees in April in Bombay Beach. Bombay was a reportedly abandoned, failed resort town on the shores of the Salton Sea in the California desert, 30 miles south of Coachella and 60 miles north of the Mexican border. While not actually abandoned, it was made up of 2 bars, 10 blocks of mostly decaying trailers, and a population of between 40 and 97 people, depending on the time of year. It was once known as the miracle in the desert, the California Riviera, but then a Pacific hurricane drove a storm in 1977 and flooded everything in Bombay past E Street, and most people never rebuilt. And then in the late 80s, the water that was drained
into the Endorheic Sea was diverted to the blooming suburbs of San Diego County, and the Salton Sea started drying up. As the sea receded, it exposed the playa, which contained the residue from the agricultural runoff that had been draining into the sea for almost 100 years and settling in the seabed. The wind picked it up and spread clouds of toxic particulates across the Imperial Valley. Now the only folk left in the towns around the Salton Sea were the chronically poor and those who preferred anonymity and asthma to any other option somewhere else. I'm not Jesus came to town about 3 years earlier, riding with this college kid, Webb, in his VW van. He'd been walking through the desert wearing a Jesus robe and Chuck Taylors and carrying a cross over his shoulder with a wheel on the end. He was never very forthcoming about where he was coming from or how long he'd been pulling the cross along, but Webb came across him in a broken down on the side of the road on Highway 86. That is, his wheel had come off. Webb strapped the cross to the top of his van and drove him to Bombay. They both came into the bar. Everyone looked them up and down because they didn't get a lot of college-looking or Jesus robe and tennis shoe-looking, wearing-looking people in the bar. The kid said, "I'm Webb, and this is Jesus." Jesus robe said, "I'm not Jesus," and sat down at the bar next to Pete. Dee Dee said, "What are you drinking? I'm not Jesus." And he never left. Well, until 3 weeks ago, when he walked into the bombing range, with half a dozen people, including Dee Dee and Pete, telling him to come back. But he didn't come back. He kept walking. And while everybody was debating what should be done, ranging from, why should we do anything and let nature take its course and just run out there and grab him, the Navy came screaming overhead and unloaded the 50-pounders. Half the town went out looking for him. But the only thing that was ever found was the remains of a single Chuck Taylor, which they nailed to the wall in the bar. Dee Dee and Pete stood in the middle of the street looking at each other. Dee Dee knew that she had missed the point by pursuing the Gettysburg Address comment. She put her hand on his shoulder and said, "Come on. I know you want to, I mean, I'm not trying, you know, it just couldn't be, I'm not Jesus. You were standing right next to me when he got lit up." Pete shook her hand off and started walking. Dee Dee fell in step. "Why is it that it's so important to you that I didn't see him?" Pete asked. "Well, because he's dead. He got blown up. Things suck. You know, everything falls apart. The rich get more, the poor get less, the polar ice caps melt, and the sea dries up. And blown up people, no matter how good they were, or how much you felt about them, they don't come walking out of the desert. The world's a dark place." "That's just it," Pete said, stopping and looking fully, openly into Dee Dee's eyes. "He wasn't dark. He was light. He was like glowing, like radioactive or a Ghostbusters ghost, but nice. I was down by the ruins just standing there and thinking. I like to walk sometimes when I need to think, but sometimes the thinking makes me stop without me realizing I stopped. So I was standing there, and then I like came to. I looked up, and there he was. He was just like from here to there. And I saw him, and I just, well, I thought I might, he was like glowing. And I thought I might be glowing too, because I felt light. And I felt happy, but like deep happy. And like good, like real goodness. Like goodness extending out from him and including me. And I smiled. And he smiled, and he said, 'Hey, Pete.'" "He said, 'Hey, Pete?'" "Yeah, 'Hey, Pete.'" And I said, "Hey." "That doesn't make any sense.
I mean, apart from a man, we both got some blown up, appearing to you alive and glowing, and then he says, "Hey, Pete?" What is he supposed to say? I don't know, something like, "Don't be alarmed at my glowing, intact body?" You know, a word of explanation? No, it wasn't like that, Dee Dee. There was no explaining needed. It did make sense. It made perfect sense. How does that make sense, Pete? How does it make sense, Dee Dee, that the largest lake in the state is here in the middle of the desert? And that it's drying up because of a bunch of people 150 miles away on the other side of the mountain who get everything they already want and have all the money they already need. They get all our water so they can build malls and cul-de-sacs and every other thing while we choke on the dust left behind. How does it make sense? How does it make sense that some people have things happen to them that are so bad that nothing can ever be good ever again? That's a lot. There's a lot of people trying really hard every day to make things better, and things get worse. How does that make sense? Everything you say is true. You're always talking about how dark everything is, how dark the world is. And when I tell you that I saw the light, how does it make sense that you want it not to be true? It's, Pete, it's not that I don't want it to be true. It's just, come on, Dee Dee, he was only wearing one shoe.